thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and just lift up our words today, Lord. His presence is so sweet in this place. Aren't you thankful that you know his name? We have a God who has a name. Amen. I am so grateful for that. His identity can be known. Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night. I'm so thankful for the house of the Lord. Amen. It's funny. I'm sure all of you can relate. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Then when you get here in the presence, you're like, ah. And then it'll be crazy afterwards. But for now, we're here together. Amen. So you can remain standing, and we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 16. I actually had two lessons that I was working on, and all week long, I was asking friends and family, please pray, because I don't know which one he wants me to do. And then it was revealed to me earlier today, and thankfully, I already had them done. But Proverbs 16, verses 23 and 24. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Brother Lou, can you pray for us tonight, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So who's ready for a little military history tonight? Of course you are. God bless our veterans. Amen. In the summer of 1761, an English soldier and inventor was born. His name was Henry Shrapnel. You recognize that last name? Yeah. At 18 years old, Henry began his military career and over time used his scientific talents to create better artillery. Henry Shrapnel designed what's known as the shrapnel artillery shell that once fired had a timer that would make it explode, releasing small lead contents into the air that could cause serious harm to anyone in its path. As you can imagine, this was an amazing invention for the military, and it changed the history of battle and his life. But now, when we hear shrapnel, we don't just think about that. It applies to any flying piece of a broken object. There are countless military stories. I've read a few. They're crazy. But of soldiers who were just wounded by the shrapnel alone. There are a lot of injuries that occur on a battlefield that are only due to the shrapnel from warfare. It's not something that non-soldiers think about, but it makes sense because it really doesn't matter how small of a piece it is. If there's enough power and force behind that small little piece, it can harm anyone or pierce anything standing in its way. And our words can be like shrapnel. What we say and how we say it can make or break a person's confidence. Our negative motives or our certain tone can cause deep wounds that might take another person years or even decades to heal from. How many of us remember something hurtful that was said to us when we were just children? We were struck by verbal shrapnel, and it pierced us, leaving a scar. It's almost embedded into our memories now. In this entire chapter of Proverbs 16, is Solomon teaching that there is a proper way to conduct ourselves in life. God can use anyone, because we know he was not a perfect man, but he did have wisdom. And this is what he says at the start of the chapter in Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 3. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We have time and ability to prepare. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So our ability to create mental arrangements and thoughts and reply with our mouth, that ability comes from the Lord. It's a gift. He has given us the free will to form these thoughts, to form these opinions, to form these words, and convey them to one another. It is truly by the grace of God that we can mentally prepare, or we should mentally prepare before we share them. And I'm thankful I have the ability to store thoughts before I just say them, right? I don't think anybody would want to be friends with me or any of us if we didn't have that filter system. But having this ability comes with a responsibility. Because as the scripture says, in our own eyes, we are justified. We're going to always be our own advocate, typically, to defend anything that we think or say. But the Lord is the one who weigheth or measures our spirit, the inner person, the root of who we are. Why did you say that thing? And what was the purpose behind it? And if we skip down to our key verses in Proverbs 16, 23 and 24, the International Standard Version says it this way: a wise person's thoughts control his words, and his speech promotes instruction. Pleasant words are honey from a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the body. Now, I probably have shared this story before, but I was the queen of unfiltered words. I don't know if it's because, you know, naturally Puerto Rican, and you just grow up in a little contentious household where everybody's trying to be heard, but you can't really hear anything. I don't think people understand how much I need God every day to tame my tongue and my thoughts. I am not as mean as I could be, and I really need everybody to just appreciate that, okay? But I probably have told this story before, and there's like five stories that I filter through because they're just so important to me. But this one in particular was when I met my husband, Jonathan, for the first time, and I was so extremely rude to him. I was so mean. And I would like to blame it on, you know, working at the airport and you're just rushed, but no, I was a mean person. I was a little bit of a bully. And you know, they sent me the new kid in the middle of a rush. So I'm just saying, I had some, you know, reasons, but we were working at the airport in a coffee shop, and everybody decides to get a coffee right before they jump onto the airplane. But everybody decides that, so the line is wrapped around the corner, and then they get mad because you're holding them up to go to their plane. So it was very, very high energy, let's just say. And the poor guy, they sent him over to help me because it was me alone. I don't know if they thought maybe this is a good opportunity to train. It's never a good opportunity to train when it's busy like that. I was not going to train him. Not in that moment. But I'm just being honest. But poor guy did not know how to make coffee. And I'm like, well, there's only two things. You make the coffee and you take the orders. Well, he didn't know how to take orders either. And I don't mean that now. I just realized how that came out. But he didn't know the register. The register. Okay, the system. So I turned to this guy, and in the front of everyone was like, well, what good are you then? I mean, I don't even know his last name. It's so insane to me that I was just so quick to just bite, you know, like, just say that to somebody I didn't even know. What if he had a terrible day and that would be like the last straw or something? I had no clue, no filter. Thankfully, the Lord is gracious and we became friends. But one of the first books that really gave me insight into this and pricked my heart as I was growing in the Lord and in my faith was Power of Speaking Positive by Joy Haney. And I read that book and it just blew my mind. Nobody ever told me that I could have self-control with my words. I was like, I can practice that? There's no way I ever knew that growing up. That was not presented to me as an option. At least I didn't see it that way. Because God really wanted to get my inside right in order to get my words right. And I just, this phrase all week is pleasant words are honey from a honeycomb. And I started thinking about the process when you think of verses 23 and 24 together, that your words are the honey, but your mind is almost like the honeycomb that like stores the honey. It's like a beautiful image that I feel like the writer gave us. And of course, I had to be a nerd and study honey and honeybees. So I have just a little bit here, but honeybees are obviously efficient. We need them. And they're efficient in collecting what they need, but then also using their natural properties to produce honey. God actually gave them specific properties within them to help produce honey. And so there's this process that nectar has to go through. It's a couple of different steps, I'm sure, but I'm not going to go in through all the scientific, you know, scientific stuff. But there's a process that nectar has to go through in order for it to become sweet honey. And so it's not produced without a process. So sweet words are not produced without a process. Bees create the honeycomb from mostly beeswax cells, and then they fill it with honey. And this honey, because it's made with the most natural ingredients in the most natural way, is healing. And I'm sure some of you know, but if you don't, raw honey contains antibiotics, and it's also antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. So I started applying this to the scripture, and it got me thinking how our words have the ability to harm or to heal. If our words are supposed to be pleasant, like honey, God wants our words to be pleasant. He wants our words to be sweet. He wants our words to have like healing to somebody else, strength to the bones. Pleasant words can be, should be a vessel for sweetness. And of course, being a mom of boys, I really was thinking that pleasant words is not gender specific. I mean, in fact, this was written by a man. But this applies to all of us. That's why the word is so amazing. Are our words sharp like shrapnel, or are they sweet like honey? I just couldn't get over the contrast of the two. What will glorify God the most, the shrapnel or the honey? Now, we don't live on an island all by ourselves. I probably say this every time I'm up here, but it's true. Because as much as we think we would really, really love that, God created us to be among one another. And we were made for relationship, and we were made for fellowship. Luke 6:45 says this. A good man, meaning human, out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And what's interesting is that this is written by Luke, a disciple, but also a physician. So I'm wondering if he must have known something, being a physician, about how our thoughts and emotions really dictate what we say and how they affect people in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." I truly desire, I really do, I want everything I say and everything I do to be rooted in love. It's not easy to do if I don't adhere to this process that the Lord has given us, has established for us to filter my words, to think on them, to have him help me so that they can actually be healing and helpful to somebody else. And this got me thinking of integrity. We have to be an example in private, not only in public. Behind closed doors, our most intimate thoughts and the words we tell our own heart, even when nobody else around, should still go through this process with God. That's hard because we're like, well, I'm home, so gloves can come off. But that is not what God wants, because how we behave in private is going to come out in public. And God actually views what we do when nobody else around. He can see it all, and he weigheth the spirits. So true integrity is being the same alone as we are around people, meaning being careful what you say, even to yourself, about yourself or what you say to your family. A soldier is not obedient if they obey half the instruction. It's still disobedience. So what happens when no one is around is a sacred opportunity to still obey the word and obey the Lord, the one that we speak of in public. James talks a lot about our tongue and our mouth. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue," you know that doesn't mean just swearing. It also means how you just talk regularly to people. "But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So we cannot call ourselves a Christian if we are not careful with our words. And that's not saying that we're not going to slip up. But if we do, we have a responsibility to be accountable and to apologize. That's hard when you're a grown-up. You don't think you have to apologize for anything. I've earned this. But that's not true. And if we've said something to somebody that's inappropriate, that's hurtful, and the Lord brings it to our mind, right? This is a process. And the Lord shows us we should go to that person and apologize, even if they are not asking for it. James continues this teaching in James 3, 2 through 5. "For in many things we offend all," especially in 2024. "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a manner a little fire kindleth." Just one small thing. Just think about a big horse we have a neighbor in New Hampshire who has beautiful horses. And I know that my nieces are, you know, they have horses, they ride horses. And when you're standing next to such a majestic animal, it's crazy to me that we have learned how to train them. And just by something small, it turns their whole body. If they wanted to disobey and kick me, I'd be done. They could do that. But for some reason, they're guided with their mouth. And our words have the power to harm or to heal. Are they sharp or are they sweet? And it's not saying we can't be bold, but are we bold in love? Are we using the right words? Are we careful in how we present that message to somebody if we truly have to say anything at all? So there was another story that I wanted to share, and I wasn't sure if I was going to, but I feel like for the young people, this is actually good, so I'm going to do it. In 2016, it was Winter Fire. That's a conference that we go to, usually in February. And this is when I actually heard a comment that surprised me, and I still think about it to this day because it just was such a shock, and I didn't expect it. And it wasn't actually to me. It was something I overheard. But you ever hear something that made you so uncomfortable that you just froze and you didn't know what to do? You're like, I don't even want to be here anymore. So everybody was filing out. And I was, I overheard a young girl speaking to a group of her friends. They were watching people exit the sanctuary of the church. And I was putting on my coat behind them. You know, they have the coat rack and you're just putting it on. So I'm like oblivious. I'm just trying to make sure like my hand goes in the hole, you know, and like everything's all flipped right. And I'm not even paying attention to what they're saying. And the service had ended. Everybody's filing out. And then it was, I didn't hear the words first, but I heard her tone. And her tone cut through the calm of that environment. And it was so harsh and sharp that I froze with my jacket. I didn't even put on any buttons. You know, I hadn't even any buttons. And I just stopped. I was struck. And she had turned to her friends and she says, her sister is more beautiful. And I was like, what is she talking about? What? And I could see who she was talking about when I just kind of went like one of these things, like, what is happening? And sure enough, it was actually two friends of mine. And even if they weren't, it still was awful, but they were sisters, and they were walking out together after having a beautiful service, and they probably got blessed, and they were oblivious to what was just said among this group of young ladies, thankfully. But her sister is more beautiful. That's five words. In five words, she changed the atmosphere like this. Quick, with just her five words. And worse, she involved everybody else that was around her. Now, I'm grateful that they never heard these words, and I never told them. I will never tell them. But what if they did, though? What if they heard that? It'd be very difficult to repair that damage. And I wasn't even on the receiving end, but it was still such a shock to me. After all these years, I still remember that moment. Because we had just had an amazing move of God in that service. It was powerful. The Holy Ghost was moving. People were weeping. It was alive, and God was working. But in that moment, she directed everybody's attention away from the goodness of God in five words. God hears what we say. Maybe she thought, well, God's in the sanctuary. He's not out here in the hallway. I don't know. But we can't control what he hears because he hears everything. And it grieved me. It really did grieve me. Because it really pointed to an insecurity that I was like, Lord, there's something in her heart that needs to be healed. God has called us to be the light and not lightning. It's not our place to just zap, 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 zap. It feels good sometimes, though. It does feel good for just a moment. But we can gently guide and even boldly correct and have hard conversations, but with the right intentions and the right words, and using that process, that filter that the Lord gave us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If any words are going to be sharp, it's the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, after forming all that we know and see, became a man. The Almighty God humbled himself and walked among us, the very creation that he made. He felt every emotion that we feel. He listened to weeping faces. He held little children, and he ate with sinners. The Lord was then led to a hill, the perfect lamb for our sin, sacrificed. And 3 days later, a grave was missing a body. There was life again, and he was received up in glory and sent his spirit down to dwell within us. What a gift salvation is from our God. So what else can he do for us that has not already been done? He has given us this process for a reason. And we truly think we can say what we want without guidelines or consequences. When he subjected his body to the cross, our ability to communicate comes from the greatest communicator ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 35, it tells us every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. When we put our trust in the Lord, he becomes our shield. And because he is our shield, any harmful, unkind word that is thrown at us, like verbal shrapnel, can just bounce off. We can cling to his every word because they are pure. His intentions are good. Even when his words are sharp and they correct, they are also sweet. His word will convict, but it will also bless. It will cut through the heart and get to the point, but also heal what has been broken. There is power in his word. Why don't we stand? I don't really have a good ending for this. But as we go into our week, the rest of our week, let's allow his word to transform our words. Understanding that we've been given the ability to process our thoughts, as difficult as it may be, let's take time this week to ask God to help us pause and be slow in our speech, using his word to sharpen our mind and to change our hearts. There is power in our words. What you say to somebody can stick with them forever. Let us continue in his word, and he will hopefully help you with yours as you live for him and as you serve him. So why don't we bow our heads and let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the power of your word. We're so thankful, Lord God, that if we mess up, you are right there with encouragement and love, that when you correct, oh God, you also bless, and that if something is broken, you touch it and you heal it. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to not hide behind sharp language as some sort of way to regain power or to seem relevant. Help us, Lord, to understand that we are meant to be a light in this world. And in order to do that, we need to follow the light. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for your power, for your love. And bless us, Lord Jesus, with words that will be sweet, that can help heal our families and draw them closer to you. Because if we can show them just a little bit of sweetness, hopefully they'll be curious how much more God has for them. God, I ask that you bless every person in this place and everyone watching. Keep them safe. And I pray, Lord God, that you bring us together again soon so that we may give honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed.